Pastors have been given the same topic, so I'm glad I get to go first, okay? Yes, he was. That's good.
Hey, brother, before you do it, just tell them what your team did last year, your football team. Great coach.
2 years ago, we won the state of Wyoming six-man football down at the University of Wyoming. Last year, we lost in the semifinals. This year, we are undefeated at this point, ranked number one, so we're planning to go back to Laramie and hopefully come home again with first place in the state. So we joined with Meteetse High School, our Christian school, and joined together for six-man football. If you haven't seen six-man football, you'll enjoy it. Just ask our main speaker, Brother Brown. He got to the game a week ago. First six-man game he'd saw. So now, let's get back to the Bible, okay? All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. What I'd like to do, keep your hand right there. I'd like to read chapter 1, verse 1, the first phrase. It says, the words of the preacher. And then as we're there in chapter 12, as you look at verse 9, it says, and moreover, because the preacher. And so I want to speak on the preacher. As I was looking at things, they said that this Hebrew word translated preacher here could be translated either preacher or teacher. And I think that's very fitting because as we look at Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers and all of us that have been, you know, taking Greek, it's pastors, teachers. As we're a pastor, we are a pastor and a teacher. And so it is that we want to look at, and I want to just share with you some things here from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 about the calling and the job that God asks us as preachers to do. So let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God. And Father, we pray that You'll just challenge each one of us. Just renew that in our heart and in our life and our ministry that You've called us to do. And Father, for each one that is here that is a part of a local church, we pray that You'll just bless them as they have pastors that are true to the Word of God. And Father, just use Your Word this evening in Thy name. Amen. I'd like to take a look at this passage, chapter 12, and just take a look at two aspects. As I said, they could be translated, you know, pastor or preacher or teacher. And so I'd like to take a look at the preaching in the first seven verses and what God challenges us to do about our preaching. But then in verses 8 through 10 about our teaching, and then just draw to a conclusion there in those last verses 11 through 14. And so as we look at it, first of all, I want you to note that, you know, we are to be preaching. And if you go over to number 1, verse 1, it reminds us of that which we are to be preaching about. And as it says here, remember now thy Creator. Oh, as I look at that phrase, I'm reminded of these things. First of all, who ought we recognize in our preaching? It ought to be God and God alone. You know, it should not be all political things and all things about all around us, society. It ought to be the preaching about our God, our Father, and the God the Son, the Holy Spirit. We need to remember, we need to be reminded that we need to recognize, as it says here, it says, remember now thy Creator. He created all things. He made all things. And we are all responsible to Him. And so we need to recognize Him in our preaching. But then I note that first word, it says, remember now. Remember, in our preaching, we need to bring some things to remembrance. And I think of that word remember, and there are three aspects of that definition of remembering. First of all, it has that aspect of, you know, recollection. You know, we need to recollect what God has done, what He's done in the past, what he is doing at the present and what he will do in the future. For the Word of God gives us that whole revelation. And so we need to, in our preaching, we need to recollect what God is done and is doing, has done and will do. Not only recollection, but also the word remember means to reflect. Reflect. Not only ought we to recollect what God has done, but we need to, you know, reflect. We need to ponder. We need to meditate upon. We need to, you know, think about all that God is and all that He has done. But then not only recollection and recognition is it tied up into the word remember, but also reflection and report. We need to remember. The word remember has the aspect of to report. And that's what we do in our preaching. We report what God has for us in His Word. And so as we recognize God in our preaching, then as we remember by recollection. We remember by reflection, and we remember by reporting. That's never forget that we need to be reporting to the people what God has said in His Word. Oh, that's the particulars of our preaching. It's about God and all that He's done. But also, as we continue through those verses, in those first seven verses, as you get to verse 5 through 7, not only do we need to be reminded about the particulars of our preaching, but we ought to be reminded about the period of our preaching. For I note, as it says in verse 5, it says, "And when all they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets." Oh, I didn't read all those verses in between that talk about our eyes going dim, our ears beginning to not hear as well. Hey, we all age as we preach, but we need to preach until death takes us home.
Amen.
You know, that's what it says here. It says in verse 6, "Or ever this silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and then shall the dust return to the earth as it was." Hey, there's no retiring from preaching God's Word. You know, I trust that, you know, I'll go home in the pulpit.
Amen.
If you have to haul me out of here tonight, praise the Lord, okay? So, the particulars of preaching, it's about God and what He's done. And what He is doing. And what He will do. That's the particulars of our preaching.
Yeah.
But the period of our preaching ought to be every day that He gives us here on this earth. Oh, from there, I'd like to take you to the second point. As He said, we have to be quick tonight, okay? That was the first point, our preaching. The second point is our teaching. Our teaching. When we pick it up at verse 8, I'm reminded of something. Verse 8 says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity." And in verse 9 says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs." Oh, you know, as I think about our teaching ought not be on that which is on a level of the horizontal. It should not be that we're teaching man's philosophies and how man looks at things. We need to be teaching on the vertical plane. How God sees things. So that we might see as God sees. We need to know as God knows. We need His wisdom. As James said, you know, we should not be seeking that wisdom of this world, which is foolishness, but that wisdom which is from on high. And so our teaching needs to be a number of things. The character of our teaching ought to be these things. As we note here in verse 9, it says, the preacher was wise. Our preaching needs to be wise. And the only thing that is wise is this book.
Amen.
Our sagacity, our wisdom needs to come from this book. We need to teach what this book says. It needs to be our foundation. The character of our preaching needs to be the sagacity of this book. It needs to be the substance that is found here in this book, the Bible. I think of Proverbs 1:7 when it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. As it says here, not only was the preacher wise, but it says he still taught the people knowledge. The knowledge that our people need is the knowledge we need, which is the knowledge of God's book, of the Bible. And then I want you to note this. It tells us this. He gave good heed and sought out. Oh, we need to do this. We need to spend some time in study.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that has been a blessing since we had joined with Matisse for sports. I always have coached and always dealt with things, but it was always that not only did you coach, but you drove the bus, you drove the van, when you would go for games, that was it. I mean, you were taking care of everything, you know. It's kind of nice, you know. We went to play Dubois on Friday. I got to ride on the bus for 4 hours there and 4 hours back. You know what I got to do? I got to study, okay? And it's a blessing because when I'm studying God's Word there on the bus, you know, players would come by, hey, Pastor, what about this? You know, if they open up the conversation, I get to preach to them. They're a public school, you know, and they've given me the privilege. Before every game, I get to open God's Word. I need to give them a challenge. We all get on our knees and we pray. You know, they all say amen when I finish praying, okay? Hey, it's great, okay? They call me. They don't call me coach. They call me pastor. What a blessing that is, okay? But, it's been enjoyable because I've got to add some hours to my study time. And pastors, we need to. We need to do just what it says here. We need to give good heed and sought out and set in order. That takes study. That takes time. We need to get things in order. We need to teach things systematically. You know, one of the things that I've learned to do and I have is everything, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's morning service, whether it's evening service, whether it's Wednesday night, I'm in a series that we're going through. I'm doing things in a systematic order. Because I think it says here, to set things in order. It isn't like I say, okay, what am I going to preach about this week? What am I going to preach about next week? I'm just going through God's Word. You know what I found? Hey, my people, it's like, well, he didn't decide to pick on me today.
Yeah.
Hey, we've been into this. You know, we've been in the book of Proverbs in our Sunday school. I'm now in Proverbs 31. I don't know how long it's taken us. My people probably know. Pastor, been at 2.5 years. I don't know. But we've been just taking it in order so they can't say, well, you just specifically chose to preach to me today. No, the Holy Spirit worked with it. And so that's make sure that the character of our teaching is that we have study behind it. But then, I know what it says as we continue there. In verse 10, it says this, and the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. You know, the words that we need to give are the words of God's Word. We need to. Now, I know that we need to give the sense of it at times, just as they did in Nehemiah's day as they gathered at the water gate. They read the scriptures and they gave the sense. But that's, you know, think about, you know, our speech. And that's, you know, prepare, that we can give words that are understandable, words that are instructive, words that are helpful, words that are wise. All those are the things, the character of our teaching that we need to be. And so let's start the conclusion. We've looked at our preaching. We've looked at our teaching as he shares things here. We haven't read all the verses, but I want you to just read that chapter, and hopefully you can see the preaching and you can see the teaching. But let's begin to conclude it. What are the results? What is the end of our preaching and our teaching? If you go to verse 11, it says this: the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Oh, as I note what ought to be the goal and the result and the, work of our preaching and teaching, it ought to be, first of all, I think, inspiration. The people are inspired. Because I note, he says here, the words of the wise are as goads. That's talking about, using a prod to move oxen along. Hey, hopefully our preaching touches hearts as the Spirit of God uses it to probe the hearts, and that people are inspired to do what God wants them to do. But also I think of what it says here. It says not only goads, but as nails fastened by the masters of assembly. I note that just as goads are used to prod animals, nails are used to fasten things. It talks about stability. I hope that our preaching makes stable churches. Churches that will last. Churches that will stand the test of time and continue to, be lighthouses. And that it won't begin to be that Ichabod's written across the doorposts of our churches. If we preach right and we teach right, guess what? There'll be that institution, the church, the local church that God gave, which is the people, I realize, that will stand. That ought to be the result. Inspiration and the institution of the local church. Oh, and I'm reminded of that last phrase. It says, from one shepherd. For in concluding, also it should be that all of our preaching and teaching should be about one God.
Amen.
Yes, manifested in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Given of one shepherd, one God. But also, it all needs to come from one book. For as you go to verse 12, we're reminded, and further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. I don't need many books. Now, I'm glad I have a library. But what we need is one book.
Amen.
It's the Bible, God's Word that He gave to us. And then as we look at those last two verses, He concludes the things when He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Oh, our preaching and teaching ought to bring forth reverence for God and who He is. Fear God. But also, the requirement ought to be there. Fear God, but it says this, and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Reverence, requirement of keeping God's Word, for what? The last verse says, for God shall bring every work into judgment. There is reckoning. And pastors, we're going to give account. Not only of our own lives, but we're going to give account of the people that God has brought to us to pastor. And he's going to bring all that into judgment. We are going to face reckoning. We're going to face reckoning about our preaching, about our teaching, about our living, and about our flock. May we seriously consider the call God has given to us, and may we do everything we can to fulfill it to His glory and His praise. Pastor Shearer, it's yours.